Good afternoon. My name's Graeme McPhee. You're getting a double act, two for the price of one now in 15. I know my place in this double act, so my name's up there underneath Laura. Laura will be speaking next. Our topic, Scotland's MSC in Advanced Residential Childcare, Past, Present and Future Transformation. So over the next 15 minutes, we are going to tell you a little bit about our MSC that exists, the background and rationale behind it. We're going to tell you about some of the progress and developments that the course has experienced since its inception in 2001. One of those main developments being threshold concepts. Laura will tell you a bit more about that. Laura will also talk about the impact of the course, what it's achieved over the last 10 or 11 years, and some of the ways in which we've measured that. And then we'll finish up back with me again, talking about the future and some of the future possibilities for our course in terms of how it might be developed, expanded and opened up to territories that we currently don't access at this time. So you get me, you get Laura, and you get me. Laura helpfully pointed out at the table that really what we had was we got Laura in the middle as the meat and substance, and I'm like the white bread either side of it. So I will try my hardest to live up to Laura's expectations in this little part. So a little bit of background about the course. The course took its first intake in 2001 following the inception of CIRC in 2000. My guess is a lot of people in this room will be familiar to some extent with CIRC, with the Scottish Institute for Residential Childcare. It was created in 2000 following a recognition by the Scottish Government at that time, and actually the UK Government predating that, about the need to address more systematically the education and training needs of the residential childcare workforce, like a lot of other territories, Scotland and the UK, and the UK more generally, in the 1990s had been subject of a number of scandals and inquiries. And one of the recurring themes in these scandals and inquiries was about the lack of or inadequate training and or qualifications for residential childcare workers. So the Scottish Government put money behind an initiative to create some sort of kind of national training centre or consortium for residential childcare. The University of Strathclyde, where myself and Laura are now both employed or were at that point in time, put together a bid as part of a consortium alongside other colleges and childcare organisations. Won that tender, and in 2000 the Scottish Institute for Residential Childcare was created, and they had the task of addressing the education and training needs of the residential childcare workforce from entry level all the way to post-qualifying level, so right across to the kind of spectrum of care workers. It'd probably be fair to say that in the inquiry reports that I made reference to, the large focus had been placed on entry level requirements because qualification levels amongst basic grade workers was deemed to be low and inadequate, and a lot of resources were put into addressing that via HNCs and SVQs and other such things. But there was also a recognition that we had to address the other end of the spectrum also in terms of thinking about leadership. Thank you. And the rationale behind the Masters was that it would offer an opportunity. I'm quoting from Mark Smith here, who was the original course director. The Masters offered an opportunity to inject academic rigour to a sector where it had traditionally been lacking, and to develop a voice for residential childcare through the development of a cadre of professional leaders. So that was the rationale behind the course at the outset. Aimed very much at Scottish childcare practitioners, by and large that's who it has recruited, Scottish-based residential childcare practitioners. But right from day one, it was a bit wider. We've had students from Ireland, we've had students from England. This year, we have a student commuting to and from Malta for the course, displaying a level of commitment that we've never experienced before. We've had students we've had a foster carer, we've had somebody from inspection agencies, we've had teaching staff from higher education institutes and further education institutes as well, but by and large, Scottish-based residential workers. There's been challenges to progression for a number of students. For some students, that's been about the task of coming back to university and some of the challenges involved in that, and that's presented challenges for us as a teaching staff in terms of how we support them, and Laura will touch on that in threshold concepts. Initially, it was just the MSC, but we also have two other exit awards now, a diploma and a certificate. and that has helped us in terms of those progression rates. Laura, if she's... Laura, if her mic is working, we'll come up now and tell us about one of the other main developments in the course, which has been about our thinking round about threshold concepts. So this is where you get the meat and substance of the presentation.
And so first I want to tell you what a threshold concept is, and then just kind of take a couple of minutes to play with some of the notions we have about what might be threshold concepts for residential childcare, or maybe CYC more broadly. So first, what is a threshold concept? It's a core concept, and so you're probably familiar with what are core concepts of any discipline, but it's a special kind because it opens up a new, previously inaccessible way of thinking. So economics was one of the first areas that started kind of identifying and talking about threshold concepts. And when you get certain concepts in economics, you begin to think like an economist. Characteristics of threshold concepts, it's transformative. It transforms your thinking. And once you've made this transformation, it's irreversible. So once you get that, it transforms you, and there's no going back. It helps you integrate other concepts and other experiences and skills. It's bounded, and I don't fully get that one because I'm still getting my head around threshold concepts. And it's troublesome. So sometimes it's hard to get your head around it. And other times it maybe isn't so hard to get your head around it, but you don't really get it for a while. And they talk about how students will mimic understanding or mimic really getting that in this sort of, they call it a liminal state, this transformative process before they really get that concept in a way that they've really digested it. And so, in fact, I wasn't the first person to become interested in this. It was Mark, and Mark and Graham and I were writing a paper about the MSc. We were looking at how are we going to organize this paper, and I said, weren't you talking about this threshold concept? And the more that we were looking at this, and the more that I started reading about this, I thought, this is really, I think, important for the way we think about how we're teaching. So we started looking at, there are definitely core concepts in the curriculum that we teach. Are some of them possibly threshold concepts? And I'm not going to go through all of them because I don't have time, but I'm going to pick a couple and maybe play with it a little bit, because I'll be honest with you, I'm not really sure if these are threshold concepts or not. I'm still getting my head around the notion of threshold concepts, let alone what they are for our discipline. And nobody else has been looking at this or writing about this. This threshold concepts is really big in higher education, but not necessarily been applied to CYC or residential childcare yet. So maybe it's good that we're talking about it here and I can just start a conversation we can have later, because I really want input from people who are practicing these concepts. And the experience we have with our students helps with that, but I think we need to do something more robust than that. So some of them, discourse. One of the first concepts we introduce on the course is this notion of discourse and how words and language affects what we're allowed to think and what we're not allowed to think, and therefore how we think about what it means to be a child and what kind of childhoods we want for children. So discourses of childhood, discourses of care. What does care mean? Is it just wiping noses and changing nappies, or is it something much more demanding, requiring of skill and use of self, requiring great fortitude? And when students start getting their heads around this notion of care in a CYC care way, there's something transformative happens. Life space for me, I think, is a key one, and you see people light up when they start to get that, and that happened at the table yesterday in some work we were doing. So I'm probably most confident, maybe a bit strong, about life space as a threshold concept for residential childcare and what it means to practice in the life space and how that's different than other forms of practice and what that requires of us and what we need to do and be in order to do that well. Relational practice, I think, is one that's emerging from the field just in the reading that I'm doing and where my head is at. And actually that concept itself is, so what does it mean to have a good relationship with a kid? Means something very different when you first start working in the field to where you really get relational practice. So situated leadership, opportunity-led work, big one for me is containing and holding environments. That's where my head is most of the time, and so I'm not going to start talking about that, or I'll go definitely over time. So these are some ideas that we're working with on the course that have evolved organically, but we want to take that further, and we want to have conversations with you all about that. The other thing I was going to talk to you about is impact. And I'll be honest with you, we haven't methodically consistently measured. Not that the most important things in life are pretty immeasurable anyway, but we haven't really tracked this in a methodical way. We do module evaluations at the end of each module, and those tend to be very good on a consistent basis. And we get feedback from students more informally. We get good feedback from our external examiners, so that's within the structure of the university. But we have had a couple of consultation exercises. One was, again, within the structure of the university when we went through our five-year revalidation exercise. And some interesting things came out of that. And then when the Scottish government reviewed our funding situation for CERC last year or the year before, we did a very quick consultation exercise using online software, so completely anonymous, sent it out to all students who had been active for the last 3 or 4 years, something like that. And we had some really important data come out of that. And I'm just going to give you a few bits from that. This came from an external examiner's report. And he talked about, so we're not totally sure how the course is impacting, is my honest answer, but we have some ideas, and it comes from some of these, and I'll give you a couple of quotes. Our external examiner a couple years ago was saying, this is a course of national importance, which is living up to its reputation as providing sound and rigorous education and training at an advanced level. It is also gaining international recognition, especially in terms of its continuing support from government. What has had a more impact on me was what students said, especially in this most recent consultation exercise. So it took us a while to just pick two, but I'm going to offer you two, and then I'll go sit back down. One student said, the depth of learning that I have gained while on the course has had a significant impact on the relationships I have with children and young people. They have not changed, but I certainly have. My level of understanding in terms of theory and not just experience alone has served both myself and the young people well. And when I read something like this, I think, okay, this is what we're hoping is happening for people. And the other one that we chose, our unit team is more inclined to hold on, and the quotations are the person who wrote their answer, to young people, and do not give up during the hard times. This has meant greater stability, security, and a sense of belonging for the young people. So we are getting some evidence that people have had a bit of that transformative experience, not just through the concepts, but through the networking and relationships that they're experiencing on the course. But we probably need to do more to try to get a sense of what the impact of the course is. And I'm handing back over to Graham.
And when we hear feedback like that, it would be quite easy for us to think, let's just keep doing the same thing and keep more of that, because that's really pleasing and positive to hear that sort of feedback. But again, the financial and the political landscape is changing, and we won't necessarily be able to do that. And at the top here, we've got future, and we should really have a question mark there. And we've got funding and sustainability. And actually, going back to the quote here from the external examiner, continuing support from the government, what we should probably make clear at this point is that there are no fees attached to this course currently. It's free to all Scottish-based practitioners. That represents a big investment from the Scottish Government, and it's existed that way for the last 11 years. And whilst we have no immediate notion that that is going to change, what we do have to do in the current financial climate is plan for the time when that does change, because I think it is almost inevitable that it will. The Scottish Government won't keep on funding a course of this nature indefinitely. So this creates questions for us in terms of how would a course be funded and what would the sustainability issues for us be. And that creates a bit of a dilemma, but it also creates opportunities as well. And this is where we feel that some of the issues we're grappling with are similar to some of the issues that the CYC website is grappling with as well, in terms of how do we embrace new technology, how do we kind of take some of these opportunities and work with them. Because in terms of delivery, one of the things that we're thinking about is, could the product that we've got be widened out to further afield than just the Scottish residential childcare community? Do we have the opportunity here for an international distance learning or e-learning residential childcare course? But then that causes us further in terms of residential childcare, because I've heard residential childcare mentioned at the clan gathering at the conference, but I've also heard CYC, I've heard group care, I've heard social pedagogy, I've heard other terms and approaches. So in terms of our curriculum focus and our target audience, we recognise that if we are thinking about going global in any sort of way and widening out our market, then we have to think about the curriculum, because it can't solely focus on residential childcare in Scotland. But if the last couple of days have said anything to me, we have got enough common, we have got more than enough common ground and applicability that we could that we could develop a product that could well meet the needs of workers and practitioners and academics in a range of territories and a range of settings. And that's what we that's what we are now in the process of kind of trying to test out. The last heading here, market testing. We've got no immediate plans to change the MSC as it is, but we've got ideas and we've got things that we'd like to test out. And similar to what Laura mentioned in terms of the consultation exercise that we did with students in terms of an online survey of students, we are in the process of finishing off an online survey that we want to put out to residential childcare, CYC workers, social pedagogy, not just in Scotland, but across the whole community of kind of childcare workers. And the way we're going to get that out in the first instance, it was Laura's idea that we put my picture up here, by the way, because she said it'll be good because people will know who you are. Thinking about it, the fact I'm here speaking, you probably know who I am. So you didn't need the double whammy of the picture, but you've got two for the price of one anyway. You're going to be getting this online survey forwarded to you because you've been here at the clan gathering, because you've been here at the conference, Kibble, they know where you live, they have your email address, and you're going to get this kind of sent out to you. What we would ask kind of three things of you. One is that it'll only take you 5 or 10 minutes. Could you please take the time to go on, do the online survey and send it back to us? Secondly, could you forward it to colleagues, workers, fellow practitioners, and get it as students, get it out to as wide a body of people as possible, because we are keen to gather as much kind of feedback and views about kind of how we could think about delivering this course in the future. And thirdly, apart from the physical act of forwarding on the email, if you're talking to people about this and this kind of seems relevant, please kind of mention this and say, have you heard about the market testing that Celsius are doing? Have you completed the survey? Have you got anything interesting to say? Do the online survey. But further to that, if you would like to get more information, if you would like to be involved in more conversation with us, that's my email address there. It will also be at the end of the online survey as well, so you can access it there as well. And I would be really happy to hear from people about how we could think about developing and taking forward our MSC. That's us. Obviously, being the person of substance, Laura will answer any questions that you've got. Everybody could hear you, David.
Last year, there was a danger of the MSC not being recognised by the Scottish Social Services Council as a qualifying qualification. I don't know.
It was a vicious rumour. There was no substance.
It was in the original draft of their consultation. So you worry what the regulators are taking as the worth of the course. Everybody who's ever been in the course and I've talks very highly of it. How also do we make a greater impact on the education and main grade workers? I have a real problem with the kind of HNC, SVQ3 model that's out there. People seem to get a huge amount more out of what you're doing. They come back with a greater sense of ideas, threshold concepts, or whatever they may be. And it does have a much greater impact on direct practice, whereas the main grade HNC SVQ feels like we're ticking a box. How do we make a greater impact? That could be rhetorical if you wish.
I guess one thing we have noted, probably initially this course was conceived if it would be leaders and managers that would be the bulk of the student group. What we've seen over time is, whilst there's still leaders and managers going forward for the course, we're getting a greater representation of main grade workers on the course also. So it's possibly making an impact in that way. When I spoke about exit awards as well, when the course started, myself and Laura were in the first cohort of students, it was MSC or nothing. There was no other exit awards. People can exit after 3 or 6 modules now with a postgraduate certificate or a postgraduate diploma. So I guess in some way that gives people the opportunity to come along, participate in it, experience some of the learning, but not necessarily, well, in the first instance, with the notion that you've got to get all the way to the end before you get anything.
Can I just add to that the other side of it? I mean, part of the purpose of this course is to improve leadership in, but also and about residential childcare. And so part of what we need to do is have those of us with experience and qualifications populating those roles of decision-making within the SSSC and other important bodies. And so as time goes on, if this course does survive, which, you know, we are very committed to that happening, then it might be different faces, more informed faces who are pulling some of those strings.
And I think actually your question about recognition by a registration or a validating body is another question that we've got to grapple with if we're thinking about expanding this internationally. What standing would any course have either domestically in Scotland or in any of the other territories where we try to target and recruit students from? Because presumably students will come along to get kind of personal learning and personal development, but a lot of students come along to get something for a purpose. A qualification that's going to be allowed for registration or promotion or employment in some way. So that's something that we're grappling with just now as well. Thank you.